We want to talk tonight about the unfathomable word. The unfathomable word. One of the most precious and blessed things that God has given us, we take for granted. That would be the Word of God. I was thinking this morning, back when I was young and could read the Bible off a phone like Darren does, I'll tell you how different it is now, though. I just ordered and received the Bible in 6 volumes. I'm serious. Ask my wife. 6 volumes of the Bible. I can see it. Amen? But it is precious. What I ordered was the Bible in book form without chapters and without verses. And it just reads like a book. And you just pick it up and you read it like a book. And you don't have stopping places and things like that. So what a precious thing it is. Verse 89. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness, which I think there is the word, is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to Thine ordinances, for all are Thy servants. Unless Thy law hath been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget Thy precepts, for with them Thou hast quickened me. I am Thine, save me, for I have sought Thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider Thy testimonies. I have seen an end to all perfection, but Thy commandment is exceedingly broad. And that is the text God has appointed to us tonight, and all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to speak about the Word of God from the Word of God, to find out what God thinks and what God says about the Word of God. Not what we say or not what somebody else says. What does God say about the Word of God? And we pray that there would be a greater desire, a greater love, a greater passion for reading and studying the Word of God, knowing the great benefits of what it is for us. We pray that You would do that in our hearts as we go through this psalm. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Matthew Henry was a great commentator of the Bible. His father advised him to take one verse of Psalm 119 each morning and meditate upon that one verse throughout the entire day. Then the next day, take the next verse and meditate upon that verse throughout the day. I think if you did that, it would take you like 350 days. So almost a year, just meditating on one verse of Psalm 119. And Matthew Henry said that doing that transformed his life and transformed his appreciation of the Word of God. He said this. He said he found out that all grace grows as your love for the Word grows. All grace grows in your life when your love for the Word grows. And what I want for you is that all grace to grow in your life. And so I'm trying to encourage the increasing of your love for the Word that would produce all grace growing by preaching through Psalm 119. 3 things I want to share with you tonight quickly about the Word of God from this passage of Scripture. In verses 89 through 91, we see the immutability of God's Word. The immutability of God's Word. Immutability is just a a fancy word for unchangeableness. Let's reread 89 through 91. Forever. How long is forever for? Forever. Forever, Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. So in those three verses of Scripture, I see the immutability or the unchangeableness of the Word of God. It's hard for us to grasp what the psalmist is saying here because everything that we see, everything we touch, everything that we know changes, right? Just think of what's changed in the 16 years I've been here. Everything changes. Nothing stays the same. Everything we know ceases to stay the same. And therefore, if everything changes and nothing stays the same, then is it not true that nothing can be depended upon? We can't really depend upon anything because everything changes. How can we trust anything that changes? Even things that at times have been certainties can change. Even the law of the land. Laws that have been upheld by the Supreme Court can later be altered, right? Can later be altered and changed. That's why law students have to constantly study case law because the law constantly is challenged and changed. So everything we know, everything we are around, everything that we have perception of changes. Except God says here, His Word never changes. Now notice there's two things that he says here. He says there is an eternal immutability. There is an eternal immutability. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled where? In heaven. The word of God is established or settled in heaven or in the place where God is. That means that the Word of God is above and beyond all the influences of cultures and creatures. God has recorded His Word. And the Word of God that God has recorded is immutable. It doesn't change because of its eternal establishment. The Word of God is untouched by human philosophy, untouched by human thought, untouched by human interpretation. It is the immutable Word of God. And because the Word of God is eternally immutable, it is eternally trustworthy. It is faithful. That's what he says in verse number 90. It's faithfulness. It never has changed. It never will change because it is immutable. And no matter how man tries to twist it, no matter how man tries to change it, no matter how man tries to alter it, God's Word is forever settled in heaven. So it can be trusted. It can be relied on. You tonight can be convinced of truth as it is in the Word of God. It is dependable. You cannot depend upon any other thing except the Word of God and God Himself. You cannot rely on anyone except God and His Word. Trust the Word. Believe the Word. Be convinced of the truth that is in the Word. You can take it for granted, so to speak. It's true. It is truth and can never, ever be altered, for it is settled in heaven. Now, what the psalmist says in verse 1 is that the Word of God has been settled forever. which means it had no beginning, it has no end. It has been settled forever. There is not a time when God's Word was not God's Word, when God's Word was not truth. And because God is outside of time, and because God is outside of space, so is God's Word outside of time and outside of space. So forever, as far as ever goes back, and as far as ever goes forward, forever, God's Word has been settled in heaven. It is eternally immutable. But secondly, he says it is also earthly immutable. Notice what he says, verse number 90. Thy faithfulness is to all generations. That would be generations of life on earth. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. So not only is the Bible, God's Word, forever settled in heaven, but it is immutably settled on earth. Now, I would grant you that there has been a lot of things said, preached, taught, maintained, declared, required, that never was ever in the Word of God. Say amen. Those things don't stand the test of time. They change. But the Word of God is the same for all people at every place, at every time. What's he say? The Word of God is faithful to some generations, to most generations, to all generations. Therefore, the Word is immutable on earth. It is the same for everyone. In other words, what God said to our generation through His Word is the same thing that it said to the generation that came before us. And it's the same thing that He said to the generation that came before them. It will be the same thing that He says to the generation after us. God doesn't say one thing to our generation and another thing to another generation. God's Word is immutable. The Word of God is the breath of God, and as He is faithful, so is the Word of God. And He gives us an illustration at the end of verse 90. Look what it says. He said, God established the earth. Did He do that? Who made the earth? You don't believe in a big bang, right? God created the heavens and the earth. The psalmist says here, God established the earth. Amen? I don't care what they say, God established the earth. Now quickly, tell me how God established the earth. How did God make the earth? He spoke it into existence. You see what the psalmist is saying here? God, You spoke words that brought the earth into existence. When did that happen? Well, it happened at least 6,000 years ago, right? At least. We won't get into all that other stuff, but at least 6,000 years ago. And 6,000 years later, guess what? The earth still stands where God's Word created it. You establish the earth and it abides. It stands where? Exactly where God's Word set it in place. And since God has spoken the Word into being, or the world into being, it remains until God speaks to its destruction. And when God speaks its destruction, it's destroyed. So therefore, things continue by His Word. Everything it says here is at the service of God's word. What does that mean? Everything that God speaks does exactly what God speaks. Let there be light. And light said, I don't know. No. Light obeyed the voice of God. You with me? Everything exists and continues to do whatsoever God declares it to do. So here's the deal. We as humans, as earthlings, as Americans, we can deny the Word of God. We can doubt the Word of God. We can dismiss the Word of God. We can discount the Word of God. We can debate the Word of God. We can desecrate the Word of God. We can defy the Word of God, demean the Word of God, denounce the Word of God, depart from the Word of God. But what we can't do is defeat the Word of God, or destroy the Word of God, or change the Word of God. We can't do that. What is true is objective truth. That means the Bible is objectively true at all times, among all peoples, and in all places. Listen, the Bible is not just the book of the year. It's not just the book of the decade. The Bible is the book of ages. It never goes out of style. It never becomes obsolete. It never has to be updated. Somebody help me. It is permanent, it is immutable, it is unchangeable, and it's the only thing you have on earth, the only thing on earth that is immutable you hold in your lap tonight. How precious is that? The immutability of God's Word. Number two, the incitement of God's Word. Verses 92 through 95. The psalmist says, "Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimony." Can I say this tonight? The Word of God is not just immutable words on paper. It is power, and the power of God unleashed. Say amen. You see, what we don't get is the Word of God contains within it power. The same power that God spoke the world into existence. Did God not speak the universe into existence by words? Do you not hold in your hands tonight the words of the same God that spoke the universe into existence? Do those words not have power? Power to change hearts? Power to change minds? Power to change lives? It is God's Word that carries God's power. It is like when God spoke the worlds into creation. He spoke and it was so. So what does the psalmist say here? What does the Word empower him? How does the Word empower him? Number one, he says here that the Word incites strength. The psalmist said that if he had not delighted in the Word of God, what would have happened? He would have perished. Do you see that? The psalmist said, I would have died. I would have perished. Physically and spiritually. If it had not been for the Word of God. Have you ever thought that your very physical and spiritual existence is based upon the Word of God? He says here, if the Word of God had not been my delights, I should then have perished in my affliction. If he says, if I had not treasured the word, if I had not read the word, studied the word, meditated upon the word daily, I would have perished. My afflictions would have sunk me. I would have drowned under the flood of my afflictions. He says that he would never have survived his afflictions if he had not been strengthened by God through his word. He says here that through the word, the Lord had quickened him, renewed him, refreshed him, brought relief to him. How did God accomplish that? How did God provide that? Through his word. He says that he could not have been able to go through what he had to go through unless he had the word of God. You with me? You understand that if we're not strengthened daily by the word, we won't survive. We won't survive the afflictions. We won't survive the troubles. We won't survive the persecutions that come our way in this life without the word. I won't survive physically. I won't survive spiritually without the word. It is the word. It is in the word that we find the unmovable truth that we can attach our anchor to that holds us steadfastly in the storms of life. Where do I find my anchor? Where do I find my solid ground? In the word. God. Not only does the word incite strengthening, but the word incites sustaining. Have you ever been in the place where you doubted, or you were searching for the ability to take another step, searching for the ability to face another day? That's what the psalmist says. He says here, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Now listen. Where did the psalmist find peace when his life was in chaos and conflict? When you can't find peace in the world, when sometimes you can't find peace at your own home, when you can't find peace down at the church, where do you find peace at? A lot of people will try to find peace at the bar. Some folks will try to find peace in some sort of drug. Where do believers find peace in conflict? In the Bible. Where do we find comfort in our times of pain? Where do we find hope in times of hopelessness? Where do we find replenishment in times of absolute exhaustion? Where do we find the will to face our enemies? We find them in the same place that the psalmist found them, in the Word of God. Your word quickened me. Your word revived me. Your word sustained me. The same sustaining power that Moses found, the same sustaining power that Abraham found, the same sustaining power that Joseph found, the same sustaining power that Jacob found, the same sustaining power that Elijah found, the same sustaining power that David found, this psalmist found, and in the same way, in the same Word of God, we can find that which will sustain us as well. Amen? Why? Because it's God's Word. It has power, and it never changes. Now, the psalmist says something interesting here. He says in verse number 94, he says, Lord, I'm yours. Lord, I'm yours. I'm your possession. You can, as master and Lord, do anything you want with me. But because I'm yours, I think you're a God that will sustain me. I think you're a God that will strengthen me. I think you're a God that will satisfy me. And I have learned that you do that through your word. And here's what's true. The more this psalmist was persecuted, the more deeper his commitment and love for the word became. Do you see that? The more they persecuted him, the more they drove him to the word. And the more they drove him to the word, the more help that he found, the more strength that he found, the more sustaining power that he found, and the more sustaining power that he found, the more he loved the word, and the more that he loved God. And he just kept going back and back and back. And every time he went, he found supply and supply and supply of exactly what he needed. Where do you find strength and sustainment for another day? In the Word. Amen? Number three. We have seen here that the psalmist speaks of the immutability of the Word, the incitement or the power of the Word, and then finally he speaks of the impeccability of God's Word. Impeccability simply means perfection. The psalmist here in verse number 96 comes to a grand conclusion. I want you to read it with me. He says, I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceedingly broad. Now here's something very, very interesting about the word. Notice, he speaks firstly about his examination. He sounds a lot like Solomon here in this verse. Everything that the psalmist has examined, everything that he has possessed, everything that he has purchased, everything that he has desired to have, everything that he has seen, everything comes short of perfection. What's he saying? He says everything has limits. Everything has faults. Everything has defects. He says, I have examined everything. Everything on this earth, everything on this earth falls short of perfection. Amen? Now, I know that's going to startle you that some of your children aren't perfect. Nothing's perfect. Nothing's perfect. Amen? As good as it looks, as well as it works, it's not perfect. You with me? Everything here will ultimately fail. Yes? No matter how much care or planning that is put in, nothing or no one is perfect. People are imperfect. Say amen. Christians are imperfect. Here's a hard one for you. Say this, I am imperfect. You are imperfect. Church is imperfect. Say amen. Children are imperfect. Parents are imperfect. Our decisions, no matter how much time and thought we put in them, are imperfect. Our opinions are imperfect. Our understanding is imperfect. Here is the conclusion. Everything and everyone falls short of perfection. There's nothing perfect here, except, see what he says? But thy commandment, thy word is exceedingly broad. There is one thing that has no limits. There is one thing that is without fault. There is one thing that will never fail. There is one thing that is always, every time, true. There is one thing that has no boundaries. There is one thing that cannot be measured. There is one thing that is infinite in wisdom. There is one thing that will never run dry. There's one thing that will never run out. There's one thing that will never grow old. There's one thing that will never fail, never cease to give that which comes to it for something to have. There's one thing that is infallible. There's one thing that is inerrant. There's one thing that is truly perfect. What is that one thing? The Word of God. It is exceedingly broad. It is perfect. It is impeccable. Do you see what you have tonight? Do you see what God says? Do you realize what you have in the 66 books of the Bible? Do you see what you have in your lap tonight? Not just a book. The only thing that is perfect. It's the only thing that you'll ever have in this life that's perfect on this earth. Say amen. It's the only book that has true life-giving, life-altering, life-saving power. It is the only thing on this earth that you will ever have that will never change. How can we just throw that around? How can we just ignore that? We ought to put it in a safe. We ought to protect that with everything we have. We ought to read it and use it and fall in love with it all over again. What is that over there? It's just my Bible. No, it's not just a Bible. It's not just a book. It is the immutable, power-inciting, impeccable voice, breath, Word of God. Is there any wonder that my grandmother said, take that off the Bible. Don't put your drink on the Bible. Don't put another book on the Bible. Don't put your hat on the Bible. That's the Bible. And I didn't get that. So God showed us how wonderful, how truly special, how truly precious is the Word of God. Can I ask you a question as I close? Why would we do anything as a people of God or as a church that would not include the immutable, powerful, perfect Word of God? You see, every life here tonight needs the Word. I need the Word. You need the Word. I need something to rely on. I need something to depend upon. Amen? I need something to have confidence in. Right? Because how many of you have put confidence in people only to be let down? How many of you have relied on institutions only to be let down? There is one thing to rely on, one thing to put your confidence in. That's God and His Word. Every one of us need that. Every one of us needs strength. Every one of us needs sustaining. All of us face various afflictions and trials and troubles. We need the Word of God. Why would we assemble tonight and me give you opinions and thoughts and political ideas when the very thing that you need is the Word of God? Why would we gather our young people together and not give them the only thing that's immutable and impeccable and powerful? We need the Word of God. We need to share the Word of God. And we need to get people under the proclamation of the true Word of God. Why? Because it is immutable. It is impeccable. it incites power. Why would we not read it? Why would we not read it more? Why would we not study it? It is the most precious gift God has given you to hold on this earth. Amen? And you know what we do? We throw it in the back of the car till next Sunday. Somebody help me. I am imploring you, encouraging you, read it. Read it. Read it. Dear Heavenly Father, as Matthew Henry said, all grace grows as our love for the Word of God grows. I want grace to grow in my life. I want grace to grow in every life that is here. And so I ask you to grow our love for the Word. We have been in a cycle in our country where the Word of God is just simply not read, it's not studied, it's not looked at as being precious, powerful. We don't see it as God sees it. I pray that you would give us the eyes to see the Word as you see it, as perfect, the only thing that we can have here, perfect. It is unchanging, the only thing that we can have that is unchanging. It gives us power. Strengthening, sustaining power. Help us to fall in love with the Word because it's your Word. In Christ's name we pray.